The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. Amazing. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, your exercise, and medication decisions. All those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and a lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Big thank you to our partner making today's crime stories possible. It's Lisa Mattress. Lisa's Sapira Hybrid has been named Wirecutter's best hybrid mattress 5 years running. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/Nancy for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/Nancy. Thanks, Lisa Mattress, for being our partner. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on Sirius XM Triumph, Channel 132.
Is Charlie Manson crazy?
Well, whatever that means. Sure, he's crazy as mad as a hatter. What difference does it make?
I took the knife and I started stabbing and I turned into an animal. You know, I just completely let out on that woman's back.
Did you tell the women to do their witchy things?
I said, if you're going to do something, leave something witchy. Just like I would tell you, if you're going to do something, do it well. And leave something witchy. Leave a sign to let the world know that you were there. Have a good day.
Right now, Charles Manson, the leader of the killer cult, is dead. And his stay in the penitentiary was just a pit stop to H-E-double-L. A former convicted felon, he brings together dozens of young people. Dozens of, let me just say, misfits. People that felt they were misfits anyway, whether they were or not. He brought them all together as a family. They all settled in together, kind of commune style, at a ranch near L.A., but then for two nights, he instructs his followers to go on a murder spree. And they do. Horrific murders, some crime scenes unlike anything police had ever seen before. Words written on the walls and the victim's blood. Dead bodies strewn through fancy homes in the LA area. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. Right now, joining me, a very special guest. In fact, two of them. Diane Lake, the author of Member of the Family, a new book out now. The youngest member of the Charles Manson family. She later helped send him to jail. Also joining me, the author of Restless Souls, the Sharon Tate family's account of stardom, the Manson murders, and a crusade for justice. Elisa with us along with Karen Smith, major crimes investigator, and Alan the Duke joining me from L.A.
Thank you all for being with us. First to Diane Lake, author of Member of the Family. Diane, when you hear it laid out so coldly that this former convict managed to bring together a band of self-professed misfits as a family who then go on a deadly murder spree, what was it about Charles Manson that attracted you? What about him was so compelling?
He was very charismatic. He had the ability to become whoever it was that you needed in your life.
What do you mean by that?
I felt alone. I didn't feel like I fit in with the counterculture groups that I'd been introduced to previously. And he welcomed me. And the girls welcomed me. And it was he was a musician, primarily singing songs that he'd written. And he was playful and really very loving in the beginning.
With me is the youngest member of the Manson family. Her name is Diane Lake, and she's the author of a brand new book, Member of the Family. Now, Diane, you met Charles Manson at just 14 years old and were increasingly mystified and intrigued and captivated with him. How old was he when you met him at age 14?
I believe he was 34.
Wow. Okay. He's 34. You're 14. Explain to me, when you say playful and loving, what do you mean by that?
He, you know, tousle your hair, make jokes, make funny faces. He had a way of just making you feel like you were the only one that he loved.
The only one that he loved. Was he having sex with different women in the group?
Yes.
Was he a father figure or a boyfriend figure to you at age 14?
I wanted to marry him.
Well, you know what? That's not uncommon for a 14-year-old girl to become captivated by some guy she meets. When I say older, I would usually mean like 15, not 34. But when you say you wanted to marry him, did he say anything to make you believe that could happen?
No.
Did he sleep with you?
Yes.
I mean, as in the sex way, not the snoring way.
Yes.
When you look back on the fact that a 34-year-old man had sex with a 14-year-old girl who was totally smitten with him, how does that make you feel?
Not good.
Diane, I agree with you. And I, like many, many women, you look back in situations and things that happened, and at the time, it's too confusing, frankly, to be angry or to really know what's happening. But then as you grow up and you mature and you look back, that feeling of anger and kind of a helpless feeling, because you were so naive at the time, a real babe in the woods. It's just a real feeling of resentment and anger and also resignation. Did you ever feel like it was your fault that you had sex with Charles Manson when you were just 14?
Most definitely. I took responsibility for what happened to me for a long time.
You know, Diane, if you were here with me right now in the studio with me, I've just got chills on my arms and my legs because I know how you feel. And so many women know how you feel. At the time when you're 14 years old and you're going along with it, at the time you think, oh, okay, this is fine. But when you look back and you realize what happened to you, it's very upsetting. And to hear you say the words, not good, I'm going to always remember those two words, Diane Lake, not good, because sometimes there just are not words, the right words, to explain how you feel looking back on being a crime victim. Diane Lake is with me, the author of Member of the Family. It's a brand new book, and it describes her experience falling under Charles Manson's spell. How eventually, after a very long battle, including being institutionalized, working through it, and even now, the feelings she has about what happened to her. It's an incredible, incredible book. When you say you, quote, fell under his spell, I know what that means to me, but what does it mean to you, Diane Lake? You fell under his spell.
He, as I said, was very charismatic, playful, seemingly intelligent, and the other girls had such a devotion for him. It was easy, and being not with my family and not feeling like I really belonged with the life that they had chosen just made me, and that his family, he and his family of girls, made me feel so welcomed and part of them. That was the magic for me.
Can I ask, how did the other, as you call them, girls feel about him sleeping with all of them?
There was enough love to go around. We all, I think at times there was like, oh, does he love her better than me? But for the most part, no, we loved him and we loved each other.
I'm just pausing to digest all that. You know, Alan Duke, believe it or not, there are times that I'm not speaking. Just trying to take in what you're saying and how this must have felt as a 14-year-old girl. What about your real family, your biological family?
Now or then?
Well, then, I know that they gave you a note. I guess you would call your mom and dad hippies, for lack of a better term, gave you a note granting you permission to leave them. How did that happen?
I was on an acid trip, not with Charlie. I didn't know him, but with another family and my own family as well. And I felt that I heard God's voice telling me it was time to leave home. So I had a conversation with my parents about it. And we were living with another couple with children at that time. And they had invited me to stay with them. So my parents wrote me a little note, basically giving me my emancipation. And I think there was a legal document that could have been created giving me emancipation as a minor. But this was just a handwritten note, you know, that we did on the coffee table. And I carried it around in my pocket for a few years. And I never used it. I never had to use it.
Did you ever miss your parents during your time away from them?
There were times that I did, but I didn't feel like I belonged in the commune that they were living in.
Did they know? Did your mom and dad know people were giving you acid?
Yes. My first acid trip was taken in my living room before we dropped out and had been provided to me and my best friends by my dad.
Why? Diane, like, why would your dad give you acid as a little girl?
I don't think he saw me as a little girl. And this was the beginning of the counterculture, you know, the summer of 67. And my parents were caught up in the whole Timothy Leary, Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac, the whole counterculture movement. They really believed that this was a new way to live, trusting God, not being enlightened with drugs, hallucinogenics, and, you know, living in a communal situation.
Can I ask you how they got the idea that trusting God, that God would want them to send their 14-year-old daughter on an acid trip? How does that translate? And I'm not judging. I'm curious because I don't understand it.
Well, they met this commune called the Oracle. The Oracle got started in San Francisco you know, as an underground newspaper. And then LA started one. And my father got involved with them because he wanted to do, he was an artist, and he wanted to do some of their artwork. So he got involved with them. But the whole Oracle commune was all about, you know, love, sex, that it was, and that it was okay, even, you know, for children. So they just kind of got all caught up in that mindset.
What was life like with the Manson family? What would a typical day be for a 14-year-old girl essentially living in a sex relationship with a 34-year-old man, Charles Manson?
I spent a lot of time, you know, just outside in nature enjoying, and I did enjoy living at Spahn Ranch. Beautiful hills and trees and rocks and little streams. And I remember spending a lot of time out in nature. I didn't have sex every day. It was not that concentrated, or that wasn't the total focus. We would prepare meals, got food from various locations, including the dumpsters behind grocery stores, found some great stuff that, you know, the grocery stores were throwing out. And then, you know, there were a couple of babies that came along, and taking care of the babies, playing with them, and taking care of George, helping around the ranch, and cleaning, making things nice, making things organized. I was kind of an organizer. And then in the evening, we would sit around Charlie, and either he would, you know, be philosophizing or instructing or usually playing music. And we would sing along.
What would Charles Manson be philosophizing and instructing about?
About life, and about, you know, getting rid of your inhibitions, and basically, you know, forget what your parents taught you. Some of the same formats or premises that my own, you know, father had bought into, which was, you know, getting rid of materialism out of your life, and just living from in the here and the now.
Did your parents have any idea that you were living with Charles Manson?
Yes.
Did they have any idea he was a convicted felon at that time?
No.
You know, when you say we didn't have sex every day, well, you know, Diane, most 14-year-old girls don't have sex ever, because it's actually statutory rape. So to hear you say that, I just think of you as a 14-year-old girl in that world. What do you think all the acid trips effect had on you?
Acid trips, for the most part, for me, were good. I mean, they were good experiences. I had a few bad trips, but considering how many times I did take acid, I really did not have that many, what I would call a bad trip. So mostly it would just, you know, open your mind to what a perfect world might be. And I know that it doesn't sound right when I say it. It's craziness, but I have three children, and that, not even preteen, but the early teen years, you think you're an adult. You don't think of yourself as a child.
Well, what made you decide that you wanted to leave Charles Manson and the family?
I was there when we were at the last arrest.
What do you mean?
I didn't leave him.
Okay, I thought you helped put him behind bars.
I did.
So you had to leave him at some point.
Right.
Was that against your will?
No, I was put in jail. And after, you know, a few months of good food and no drugs and, you know, reading and overhearing people say, those poor girls are never going to make it. And before I went into the grand jury, the bailiff asked me my name, and I told him, I'm Diane Lake. I'm 16, and I want my mommy. So I had really come to the conclusion that I'd made a big mistake. I didn't belong here and I wanted out.
Why? Why did you want out?
That was when I began, you know, to tell the truth, to tell the authorities what I had seen, you know, what I had heard. I didn't want to live in this situation anymore. I, you know, woke up to the fact that it was wrong.
What was your part in sending Manson to jail?
I, you know, testified that his escalating behavior about the the White Album, about, you know, Helter Skelter, and I testified what other people had told me that he had asked them to do.
What did he ask you to do?
He didn't ask me to do anything. Other people told me what he asked them to do.
I understand. What did he ask them to do?
Basically to start Helter Skelter, to go and do something witchy in these different homes.
To start the Helter Skelter race war?
That was the, I don't know if he used those words, but that was later on, I realized that was the intent.
So by going and murdering people in that L.A., California area and surrounding area, how was that supposed to start a race war?
I don't know. I mean, Bobby Beausoleil had been arrested for killing Gary Hinman. I mean, this is looking back and you're trying to figure out, you know, what happened and why. It's like there is some idea that perhaps they wanted to make it look like Helter Skelter had started because of what happened to Gary Hinman, that they were going to do more of the same and look, because Charlie had been talking about a race war for a long time, and he'd been hearing about a race war for a long time during his various incarcerations and being in reform school. He'd been hearing this
his
whole life.
When you testified in court and you saw Charles Manson, how did he appear to you? How did that make you feel?
I was very nervous about testifying in front of him because I knew that he would be unhappy with me, and I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to look him in the eye because I would remember the good times. But one of the very first questions, he showed me that it was all about him.
What do you mean?
One of the questions that they asked me was, I in love with Charles Manson? And I said, I guess so. And he immediately chimed in, don't put it all on Mr. Manson. She loved everybody. And I could see that he was playing the whole courtroom. And I realized that he really didn't love me. And the spell was broken.
With me is Diane Lake, the author of a brand new book. Member of the family, Diane was the youngest member of the Charles Manson so-called family. After leaving the family, she actually had to be institutionalized in order to ultimately break free of the life with Charles Manson and the drugs and the lifestyle. She went on to help the state put Charles Manson behind bars. Today, with Diane Lake, Karen Smith, and Elisa Statman, would not be possible without our partner, who is making our program possible. It's LegalZoom. As business owners out there, you know how important it is. You got to keep moving forward. But so often things come up to take your time and focus away from growing your business. When it comes to issues like reviewing contracts, registering trademarks, staying current on permits, fees, contracts, hiring, LegalZoom.com simplifies your life. LegalZoom was created 16 years ago by the brightest minds in law and technology. And they've already helped over 2 million people, business owners, easily and affordably navigate the legal system confidently. Best part? You don't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning worried about billable hours piling up behind your back with your firm, your law firm. LegalZoom is not a law firm. Instead, you get the advice you need to answer business questions at fixed rates through LegalZoom's nationwide network of independent lawyers. Take pressure off yourself. Go to LegalZoom.com now and take care of business before the year winds down. For special savings, enter code Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y, in the referral box at checkout. Code Nancy. Special savings only at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom, thank you for helping business owners across America and for being our partner today.
Did you know that 10,000 people are retiring every day? Hi, I'm Scott Carter with PM Capital. How's your retirement planning going? No matter what your stage in life, it's important to get ready. Don't become income rich and retirement poor. Diversifying your portfolio now will preserve your buying power later. Investors know that diversification can unlock the key to their financial freedom. That's why many are adding gold and silver to their portfolios and IRA. PM Capital is in the diversification business. Our specialists are standing by to help you. On your cell, call pound 250 and say the keyword grace. It's simple to diversify your IRA with gold or silver, helping you preserve your buying power. Call pound 250, keyword grace, to speak with our IRA team. That's pound 250 and say keyword grace. Pound 250, keyword grace. We're ready to help.
With me is Diane Lake, author of a brand new book, Member of the Family. She is the youngest member of the Charles Manson family that went on to commit mass murder. Karen Smith, expert in her field, major crime scene investigator, and Elisa Statman, author of Restless Souls, The Sharon Tate Family Account of Stardom, The Manson Murders, and A Crusade for Justice. I want you to take a listen to Charles Manson speaking.
I'm not a violent human being.
Did you tell the women to do their witchy things?
I said, if you're going to do something, leave something witchy. Just like I would tell you, if you're going to do something, do it well. And leave something witchy. Leave a sign to let the world know that you were there. Have a good day.
Did you tell them which words?
No.
Pig?
No.
Helter Skelter?
No.
Arise?
Nope. It's not my vocabulary. That's not my generation. I keep telling you that. My generation.
Leslie said, in the car on the way to the La Bianca house, you said, this time, make sure they're not scared like last night.
Oh, no. It may have been something like this. I remember something like that, but I don't remember exactly the right words. But that's a simple philosophy from China. That's a Chinese philosophy, you know. If you're gonna go to war and you're fighting your enemy, and you kill him when he's afraid, you know, it's a bad omen. It's bad. So you try to absorb the fear. I think the Hindus use that word, karma, to balance of karma.
To Elisa Statman, author of Restless Souls, The Sharon Tate Family Account of Stardom, Manson Murders, and Crusade for Justice. Elisa, we have both been listening. I've been transfixed listening to Diane Lake describe what life was like as the youngest female member of the Manson family. And to hear her talk, I can get a glimpse of life inside that so-called family, and how everything that I think is wrong so many things that I think is wrong was normal. Giving a 14-year-old child acid that forever can alter your brain, forever can alter your psyche for the rest of your life. Having full-blown sex between a 34-year-old man and a 14-year-old girl. No school, just wandering around. Having the child help gather food from dumpsters and prepare food and basically make it a harem for Charles Manson to sit around and strum his guitar and hypothesize at night. And then to hear her say, Elisa, she felt like it was her fault. And I get it. That's really how so many assault victims feel. Elisa Statman, author of Restless Souls, I want to hear your thoughts on listening as you were listening to Diane Lake along with me.
You know, Nancy, it's heartbreaking to listen to Diane because, you know, she is the story of every abused child, in my opinion, and Manson took advantage of that. I think that what's really amazing about Diane, and to emphasize this, is that even though she was there and under Manson's spell, she says this in her book, she knew the difference between right and wrong. She knew that she was an individual. And I think it speaks volumes to those who are in prison and those who aren't. You had this 14-year-old girl who was more impressionable than anybody, who was abused by him more than anybody. She was hit by him, hung upside down by him, and by all means believed him to be Christ, in her words. And yet, she didn't murder. And I think that that speaks volumes about those who did murder. I think that it is an amazing story that Diane came out on top of this. And not only came out on top of it, but was, you know, tantamount to the prosecution's star witness in helping to put them behind bars. That took an incredible amount of courage for this 16-year-old at the time to come against somebody who she knew could retaliate, who she loved and yet feared. And it's truly an amazing yet heartbreaking story. But, you know, going back to what I was saying, it just emphasizes why those who killed for Manson should stay where they are. They were no less impressionable than Diane was, and yet they had it in them to kill. And Manson knew who had it in them to kill and who didn't. There's a reason Diane didn't go out on those nights, because Manson knew she didn't have it in her. She was a decent human being on the inside. She wasn't a savage killer like Susan Atkins, Patricia Kronwinkel, Leslie Van Houten, Charles Watson. Manson knew those people would kill, and they did.
Diane Lake, author of Member of the Family, I'd like to hear your response to Elisa Statman's comment.
Well, she really painted quite the picture, and not that it's not true. It's just that it's really hard to hear that viewpoint.
Why? What is hard about it?
And I know that's the viewpoint that, you know, I, as if I had been mature, would have probably seen, but I didn't, you know. And it's really hard to look at yourself as a victim. And I really did not see myself as a victim until fairly recently.
Diane Lake, when you hear Elisa describe being hung upside down and hit, what happened?
He threatened to hang me upside down. He never actually did hang me upside down, but he did threaten to hang me upside down and skin me alive. And
why?
I wasn't paying attention. We were in the desert. You know, these crimes had been committed, and he demanded our undivided attention. And I really, I think I had really lost connection with myself and with my situation.
Well, I mean, you're a 14-year-old girl being fed LSD, acid, and having sex with a grown man, and you're out in the middle of the desert with no family or parents to support you. I can understand being disconnected. Did you think when he told you he'd hang you upside down and skin you alive, did you believe him?
Yes. At that point, I certainly did.
You were not asked to go and commit murder. You heard the others talking about it. Would you have gone if he had told you to?
I don't think so. I would have. I feel that I would. I would not have been able to do that. And like Elisa said, I don't think I was asked, because I think he knew that.
When you heard the others come back and talking about the killings, what was their attitude, their demeanor toward what they had done?
I didn't hear about it from the girls until we were in the desert. But they were almost like bragging. That's how I remember them telling me. They were kind of like morbidly gleeful about it.
In what way? What did they say?
It's just like, oh, and we did, you know, and we did this and we did that. And
did what?
You know, at first I think one of the girls told me that they stabbed somebody and first, you know, and then it was fun. I don't know. It's just, their demeanor more than what they said is the memory that I have. And that they were, you know, they were like proud to have done this.
You know what? At that time, you were only 4 years older than my little twins are. And I cannot imagine them out in a desert with Charles Manson listening to these people acting worse than animals, gleeful over what they had done. With me is Karen Smith, crime scene investigator, forensics expert. Karen, thank you for being with us. The reality of the murder scenes. What happened, Karen Smith?
They were horrific. The first murder scene took place on Cielo Drive on August 8th, 1969. And at that scene, essentially, they report 5 people were killed, but essentially it was 6, because Sharon Tate was almost to term with her pregnancy. And at that time, Stephen Parent, Abigail Folger, Wojtek Frykowski, Jay Sebring, Sharon Tate and her unborn child were all murdered. They were shot, stabbed. There was evidence of strangulation, writing on the walls in the victim's blood. There was blunt force trauma and blood from one end of that house to the other and out into the front yard. On the next night were the LaBianca murders, where Lino LaBianca was stabbed 12 times with a bayonet. A fork was left in his neck, and the word war was carved into his chest, and his wife Rosemary was stabbed 41 times. I've worked a lot of homicides, but I have never seen crime scene photos to this extent in my life.
I mean, the thought of plunging a fork into a human, it's hard for me to even take it in. Diane Lake, the author of new book, Member of the Family, when you hear the stark reality of the murders, innocent people, a woman 9 months pregnant, carved up with a knife. Words like pig and war written in blood on the walls. And you were in the middle of these people. How did you survive? You were a little girl, Diane.
By the grace of God. That's all, and that's part of the reason I'm writing this book, or I wrote this book, is because it is an amazing story, and I give all the glory to God for getting me through with my wits still attached. And, you know, when I hear the description, I'm just absolutely horrified. I've got tears in my eyes. It's just, I just can't imagine being on either end. And I have so much compassion for the families, because not only was it bad to start with, but they have to relive this every time one of these people come up for parole. They have to, it has to be relived and gone over again. And from my understanding, I've never been to a parole hearing, but they are 8 to 10 hours long.
Lisa Statman, author of Restless Souls, The Sharon Tate Family's Account of Stardom, The Manson Murders, and A Crusade for Justice. What do you know of the crime scenes and what happened to Sharon Tate and the other victims?
Well, you know, as Sharon said, it was one of the most horrific crime scenes, I think, in the history of crime scenes. You had Sharon Tate, who was strung up by a rope, stabbed 16 times. You had Wojtek Prokofsky, who was stabbed 51 times, beaten over the head 13 times, and shot twice. Abigail Folger was chased down, tackled by Patricia Krenwinkel, and stabbed 21 times. Jay Sebring was shot once, stabbed 7 times. And Stephen Parent was shot 4 times. You know, the following night, as Karen said, Rosemary and Lena LaBianca, you know, in the supposed sanctity of their own home, were killed in the most brutal way. We have Lena LaBianca, who was stabbed multiple times with a knife thrust through his throat and a fork with the word war carved into his abdomen. And Rosemary LaBianca stabbed 41 times. And you know, I think that the horror of this is so multiplied by the fact that they were in the supposed sanctity of their own home. You know, this was a rampage. And I don't think it gets any more horrific or scary than that. And the fact that these people were able to, you know, you have to, and I think that, you know, this, Nancy, stabbing is a very personal crime. You're up close, you're holding them down. To look these people in the eye as they were doing it, and the overkill that was used, to look a pregnant woman in the eye and tell her, as Susan Atkins did, look, bitch, I don't have any mercy for you. You're going to die and you better be ready. And then to stab her in the heart, you know, 3 times as she's pleading for the life of her baby. Let me live. Let me have my baby. And you can kill me any way you want. You know, I think what is lost over the years is the horror that these victims went through, and the screams and the pleas to live, you know, are all but forgotten. And when you put yourself, as a family member does, as Diane was saying, in a parole hearing, and you have to hear these details over and over, you know, for the victims of these, of the families who sit and listen to it, they're not hearing the details. They're hearing their loved ones screaming. They're wondering about the fear that their loved ones went through in their last moments of life. And that, I think, is the most horrible part of these parole hearings. And, you know, let's remember back to when Doris Tate was doing this. These parole hearings were every year. And now, you know, through new laws, you can do it up to 15 years. But let's remember back to when this all started. They were going to them year after year after year and reliving this horror that their loved ones went through.
Well, I've got to tell you, Alyssa, I can't stand to think back on my fiancé's murder. I don't like to think about it. I don't like people to bring it up to me. If I bring it up, that's one thing. I'm prepared mentally to talk about it, but it makes me think about what he went through. And while it was horrible, it's nothing compared to a pregnant mother begging for the life of her child. Today, with Diane Lake, Karen Smith, and Alyssa Statman, would not be possible without our partner who is making our program possible. And it is Link AKC. Christmas is right around the corner with all the other holidays. Don't leave your dog out of the fun. Get the Link AKC Smart Collar, the new must-have gift, believe it or not. It's backed by the American Kennel Club. The Link AKC Collar is a GPS locator and a fitness activity tracker all rolled into one smartphone app.
It even has an LED light and temperature sensor. Now, this is what I love. The GPS locator quickly and accurately tells you where your dog is. I've got total peace of mind. I don't have to worry if Fat Boy's running down the street or chasing or being chased by a car. I can see exactly where he is right on the app. And it doesn't matter how old or out of shape your dog is, whether it's a pure breed or a mutt like mine. Link AKC's activity and wellness tracker shows the exact amount of activity for your dog. It's so easy to set up, which is good for me. Sizes for every dog and super comfy. Keep your little doggy safe, happy, and healthy with the Link AKC Smart Collar. It's the perfect gift for you and your dog, and you can try it risk-free for 90 days. You'll get 30% off and free shipping if you use code Nancy at thelinkakc.com checkout. Code Nancy at linkakc.com. Save 30% and free shipping. You're not going to get that at the pet store. Linkakc.com. Thank you for all the joy you're bringing to people and their pets. But thank you for being our sponsor today. Diane Lake, author of Member of the Family. How does your family, your children, your nuclear family, feel about you writing the book and what they have learned?
There's mixed feelings. For the most part, I have the support of my children and my mother, my fiance, and certainly my church family, my pastor.
What do you mean by the most part? For the most part.
There's a few people in my family that are upset with me.
Why?
Because it reflects badly on my mother.
They should be praising God you're alive. And frankly, if it weren't for your mother and father, you would not have been in that predicament. And I'm not... Okay, you know what? I am judging. I'm not judging you because you were a child. And it is a miracle, a divine miracle, I believe, that you survived and had to live through being institutionalized. What was that like? Being in an institution to get your mind straight after all you went through.
Saved my life. That was a wonderful experience. It really was.
And it is what you had to do to survive.
Well, I was in a protected environment. I learned how to play the flute. I went back to school. I had all these loving psychologists and psychiatrists and nurses, you know, and technicians.
I'm so grateful that was there for
you. I'm so grateful for them, too.
When they say it reflects badly on your mother, are your mother and dad, mom and dad, still alive?
My father passed away 15 years ago.
What did they have to say for themselves about allowing you to be in that situation?
They regret it. My father said we threw the baby out with the bathwater. He apologized. My mother has, apologized. But on the other hand, they were caught up in the, you know, this enlightenment, this counterculture movement.
Diane Lake, I hear you even now protecting your mom and dad for literally throwing you to the wolves. And you know what? That is unconditional love. It is. I know you don't want to see that they did wrong by you.
They didn't intend to.
And I just am grateful you're here today to speak with me. Your book is incredible. If I could change what happened to you, I would. But for now, I'm going to pray for peace and healing and everything good for you.
Thank you.
Diane Lake, author of Member of the Family. Alyssa Statman, author of Restless Souls, The Sharon Tate Family Account of Stardom, Manson Murders, and Crusade for Justice. Karen Smith, crime scene investigator, and Alan Duke. I want to take this moment and thank our partner
for making our program possible today. It's Super Beats.
Are you concerned about your blood pressure like I am? Well, you should be. It's a key to heart health and overall well-being. If you want a way to support healthy blood pressure with a simple lifestyle change, good news! A super veggie that's great for your heart. Beets. Now, you know, my dad was a heart patient his whole life, so I'm very particular about heart health. Super Beets is a convenient way to get the benefits of beets every single day. Super Beets has a nutrient that supports healthy blood pressure, working with the body's own natural system. Only Super Beets is made from beets grown to exacting standards, then concentrated into superfood crystals. So if you want to maintain healthy blood pressure, call 800-516-0683, or you can go online and go to nancysbeets.com. With a first order, you get an extra 30 days of Super Beets free. Free! Hello! You're not going to get that at the grocery store. Plus indicator strips, and you can see with these strips how Super Beets is working for you. Plus free shipping! What's not to love? Call 800-516-0683 or go online to nancysbeets.com today. Thank you. Nancy Grace Crime Stories signing off. Goodbye, friends.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. It's Dexcom. With the new Dexcom G7, you get better diabetes results without those awful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or to your watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affect your glucose. It makes it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's so easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner. Big thank you to our partner making today's crime stories possible. It's Lisa Mattress. Lisa's Sapira Hybrid has been named Wirecutter's best hybrid mattress 5 years running. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/Nancy for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/Nancy. Thanks, Lisa Mattress, for being our partner.